I was looking up there. I was like, wow, that's a lot going on. Hello and welcome. Deli's in the house as well. We're here. We're here. We're ready. Today's show is titled Traditional Man Enrages Feminist. You excited? When he uses the phrase, make her my wife. Did y'all see that clip from whatever podcast that went viral? That guy? Oh, man. It's so good. It's so fan. It was like it was just it all happened just for me. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to talk about today. It's an awesome show. It's a fire show. I'll tell you who today's show is brought to you by, a fantastic company. And then we're going to dig right in. Lots of viral video content today. So get ready. Fasten your seatbelts, as I say. We're going to get bumpy up in JB Live. Okay. So today is all reaction, pretty much exclusively to viral video content that I found on social, that I found, you know, on other podcasts. It's crazy. People are losing their minds in 2023, in case you didn't notice. So what do we have? Topics, modern women in situationships. These situationships, nasty, I got to say. And they say it with pride, a situationship. Aren't you embarrassed to say this stuff? Apparently not. We've got feminists triggered by traditional men. That's related to the clip in the title. That's one of my favorite clips that I've seen from whatever so far. We've got zero accountability females. That's a problem. Zero accountability anyone is a problem. But we're going to dig in on some women right now. I'm a female, so I got to call out the ladies. We got some peak simp behavior that guys in the chat, guys out there, you do not want to replicate this behavior. In fact, you want to be the very opposite of this. When you got a woman, when you're trying to get a woman, you don't want to do what this guy's doing. Then we had something that really hit, you know, close to home for me. There's a woman, she's in her 40s now, and she is just perplexed beyond measure as to why women her age have had such a hard time getting a man. She actually wound up getting a sperm donor, having a baby. She's trying to have a second baby. And it was actually a very sad video and a very important video that we need to talk about why women are being misled. And guys, you also need to pay attention to this because the messaging that women are getting, it's affecting your life as well. It's negative messaging and it's affecting the way you live and when you can settle down and how you settle down. So this affects everybody. It's a very important conversation that needs to happen. We're going to talk about some female catfishers. Oh, man. If you think you've seen an Instagram filter before, you ain't seen one yet. That's all I'm going to say. We're going to close with a discussion on Matrix authoritarianism. As it turns out, the Matrix is gearing up to steal your freedom, to rob your freedom, and even bigger and bolder ways. The question is, are you ready? Well, I'm going to make sure you're ready. I won't have it any other way. And today's show is brought to you by a company that I love. Very near and dear to my heart, this one. And it's by a particular supplement. It's called Nativim. I took two before I came here today. I take two every single day. I'm not big into supplements. You should know that about me. I get a lot of stuff from food. Very big on, like, you know, the sunshine, the grounding, the food. So when I take something, it's because it really, really works. It's a supplement I've been taking for years now. And whenever I miss a beat because, you know, I'm like, oh, I didn't realize I was running out, I always feel the negative effects of not taking it. So if you're struggling with, think about this right now, you're struggling with focus, you feel like your focus is off, you have any brain fog, you ever feel like you're starting a sentence and you're like, what was I even talking about? That's happened to all of us. You feel like maybe your memory or your concentration is not where it needs to be. I think we've all at one point or another felt that sensation. Well, I have the supplement for you. Like I said, I wouldn't try to sell you anything or sell you on anything that I didn't take myself. Everyone in my family takes this supplement. Me, my husband, I'm getting my mom, everybody. And it comes from a doctor who I know and love. Is Dr. Thomas Schultz. He's one of the best doctors in the world. He's unbelievable. He has a center called the New York Center for Innovative Medicine out in Huntington, New York. It's a center. It's an integrative medicine center, a holistic center. They do some really cutting edge stuff there. It's a place I went to when I got Lyme disease years ago. As it turns out, traditional medicine failed me. I went out and saw him, and within 6 weeks, I walked out of there feeling better than I had before, like before I had been slammed by that horrible, horrible disease and all of the toxic medication that they gave me to supposedly fix it. That didn't fix it, but the center helped me enormously, gave me an enormous sense of my own health, everything. And this supplement, Nativim, comes out of their center. And what is it? Well, you know those NAD IVs? You've seen Joe Rogan talk about them and all that. They do them at the center as well. And what they realized is not everybody could do an NAD IV. Not everybody could get to them. So they decided they were going to make a medical grade capsule that had all of the amazing features of NAD for your brain, for your memory, for your concentration. And they were going to put it in these capsules. They heavily test all of their products, by the way. So you know you're not getting any heavy metals. You're not getting anything nasty in the product that could compromise the efficacy of that product. I'm telling you, man, Dr. Schultz, the man with the plan. So what is NAD? It's a molecule that every cell in the body needs to generate energy. We can't live without it. As you get older, you lose more and more of that NAD. So this is an effort to replenish that. Or maybe you got hit with sun. Maybe you got hit with an autoimmune disease. Maybe you were had a chemical exposure. Whatever it may be, if you feel like you're getting the brain fog, this is the supplement that you need. Now, what does it have? Not just NAD. They managed to blend botanicals, cat's claw, CoQ10, glycine. It increases absorption and it enhances your brain boosting effects. You need to be sharp up here in order to do the job that you need to do. You want to create financial stability for your family? You got to be sharp up here. You all know that. And it's not a good feeling when you get brain fog. You start to feel like, is something going wrong in my body? It's a very unpleasant feeling. I take two every single day. I have a special offer for you today. If you head over to nativim.com, this is going to be listed in the description. You use code Jedediah at checkout. You're going to get 20% off of your subscription. Now, why did we do a subscription? So here's why. If you sign on to take a new supplement and they tell you, oh, take it for 2 weeks and you'll feel a difference, they're lying. They're lying. You need to be able to take a supplement for a couple of months to actually see the effects of that supplement. It needs to get through your bloodstream. It needs to get in your system. So here's what I strongly recommend. Give it a try. Give a subscription a try, of course. You can cancel at any time. Give it a try. Get your 20% off and just see if it makes a difference. And I want to hear from you. Send me a message in the comments. Send me a message anywhere. Let me know. Do you feel sharper? Do you feel stronger? Do you feel more alert? It's done wonders for me. If I had to go to a desert island tomorrow and I can only take one supplement, I'm not lying. That is 100% the supplement I would take, 20% off. Remember, the matrix is out to get you. We all know that. Everybody, the system is out to get you. I want you healthy. I want you strong. I thoroughly vet every single one of these. Nativim is here. Is at the top of the heap from one of the best doctors in the world. Don't miss out. Okay. Now let's get to the modern women. You know they're waiting, Deli. You know they're waiting. The chat is open today. By the way, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. And the chat will be open today. Super chats will get read. Get on in there. You love me. You hate me. I want to hear from you. All right. So we start with a modern woman who thinks her current boyfriend should pay for the past boyfriend's mistakes. In fact, the current boyfriend should pay for all of men's mistakes in the past. Let's take a listen to what she has to say. That's number one, 1315.
In person or?
No. So I did it over like DMs.
Over DMs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
All right.
It's a taste of their own medicine.
Excuse me.
Is it not?
What is?
Like breaking up with somebody or doing something over DMs.
What do you mean a taste of their own medicine? Who is there?
Do you know how many guys have done that to girls?
Guys have done what to girls?
Just left them hanging or...
Well, women overwhelmingly initiate breakups.
Do they?
And divorce. Yeah. Women are more likely to end things than guys.
Yeah.
You gotta fuck up as a chick. Well, not necessarily, but like most guys will stick by you.
Really?
Women okay, are much more likely to end.
Okay, let's pause it. So this is an interesting episode they have over there. They've got Allie. They got our friend Allie Drummond over there, pregnant, which I love. They've got this traditional conservative wife pregnant, and they got all these young modern women that are like, yeah, 304 phase, woohoo! I mean, what a great combination. That's really good combination. Good casting, Brian. I was having a conversation, by the way, with Deli before, trying to figure out how old is Brian. Brian, if you're in the chat, let us know how old you are. If you're not in the chat, you should be. What are you doing? Supposed to be hanging out with JB Live. But regardless, I'm going to guess. My guess is 27. I'm curious how close I am to the age. What do you guys think in the chat? Guys, gals in the chat, you think Brian, how old do you think Brian is? Take a guess. Let's see. Maybe if you win, you'll get a prize. Who knows? The prize will be Deli. Just kidding. All right. So let's talk about this woman, though. So first of all, she breaks up with a guy over DMs. Nasty. Don't do that. I don't care. Woman, man, you got to grow up. We live in a time now where we have a bunch of babies that are pretending to be adults. You don't break up with people over DMs. I know it's easier. I know you don't have to look them in the eye. I know it saves you, especially if you don't really care about that person anymore. You've already moved on. I know you don't want to sit and have that conversation. But remember, it's the mark you leave on the world, right? The way you treat people is the mark you leave on the world. You always want to put your best foot forward in a situation. And it's disrespectful to break up with somebody through DMs. Can we all acknowledge that? Even if you've done it before, you'd say, oh, that wasn't the best way to go. You wouldn't want it done to you, right? You wouldn't want it done to you. The problem here is that she's saying, well, I'm doing this to this guy. Let's call him Guy A. And I'm doing it because all these other guys did it so many times that this guy A's got to pay for what all these guys have done. And we've talked about this before. These women come into the world and it's like, even if a guy behaves well and treats you well, no, he's part of the system in some way. Like, he's part of the misogynist system, the patriarchy. So he's got to pay for what other guys may be doing or what guys in the past may be doing or your ex-boyfriend did to you. That's not how adult women behave. That's how little girls behave. So this is very clearly, as you will see, a table of a lot of little girls who get very insulted, by the way, when Allie says, like, hey, you're 19, 20, I'm 28. I kind of been through it for a minute. So they get very like, oh, you're being condescending. You're being condescending. Well, imagine if I roll in there, 44. I'm going to be like, oh, that's right. Mama's coming to town. Mom's going to tell you what's up. All right. So this is just a woman who, she behaved badly. She broke up with somebody DMs. And she's just, rather than take responsibility for that and say, I shouldn't have done that, she, of course, has to blame out. Well, the guys in my past treated me badly, so now I'm here to get revenge. You little baby, honey. You got to grow up, turn into a woman. We'll wait. Okay, number two. Let's go to that, Deli. This is the best. Let's just listen. I'm not even going to tease it. Let's listen. 1528.
Pretty unique. Like, situationships, friends with benefits type things. My first one, the guy actually was here in my town, my hometown, for a hockey. He was playing hockey, and then he was there for like 3 or 4 months. He was the longest one that I mentioned before. And then he ended up leaving because he had to go to another state to play. So that was kind of just mutual. But I was really upset for a good like 20 minutes. I cried. He came to my house and then I just got over it because I realized he was kind of ugly, but it was okay.
you realized this?
I realized it after he left. I was kind of looking and I was nasty. Like, oh,
all
I
right.
just did it.
Nasty! All right, get the nasty meter. We need one. I know you're all calling for a nasty meter. This is like at 99 out of 100. Nasty on too many levels. Disgusting. Disgusting behavior. First of all, let's go through the points. Why are you taking pride in a situationship? What has happened to women? That you're taking pride in something. You're saying you 3 to 4 months of a situationship. Honey, that's what people in the olden times, and by that I mean like 2 decades ago, used to call a relationship. That's an ongoing thing, right? Where now you're deciding that you're just gonna sleep with somebody 3 months, he's sleeping with somebody else, you're sleeping with other people. Nasty! Next, why are you taking pride in that? Women used to, by the way, who behaved this way, used to hang their heads in shame. Right? They used to do stuff like this, but they didn't want it talked about. They knew they'd be ostracized. Other women would be like, oh, that one's a you know what. Other guys would be like, well, I wouldn't date her seriously. I'm not going to date a woman who behaves like that. Now they're wearing like a badge of honor. They're like, oh, look, they got a big 304 sign that they're just putting on their body, like, oh, walking through a parade, waving at everybody like they're some type of beauty queen. I mean, this is disgusting stuff. Really disgusting stuff. 3 to 4 months. Why not just date somebody? Why? Why do you have to degrade yourself at such a level that you have to sleep with somebody and while they're sleeping with somebody else and you're sleeping with somebody? Why can't you just try out dating somebody? It's got to be this situationship nasty stuff where you don't know where somebody's been. They don't know where you've been. Ugh, disgusting. Then she says she has the situationship for 3 to 4 months. And she's like, I was upset. I cried for like 20 minutes. Honey, a whole 20 minutes? Oh, my God. 20 minutes. I mean, what? Okay, guys, if she only cries for 20 minutes when you leave town, she really didn't like you that much. Can we just be honest about that? 20 minutes? I remember, like, I was dating a guy, the first guy I dated ever. I waited a long time to date. Some personal information. By the way, I talk with my husband and he always says, feel free to share. It's okay. It's a long time ago. First guy I ever dated, I was young. I was 18 when we started dating. I didn't even kiss anybody until I was 18, y'all. You ready? Now you're like, see, I didn't. I swear. I swear to y'all. I didn't kiss anybody until I was 18. I was a late bloomer. What can I say? And first guy I started dating, we dated for a while, and then he left. He took a job somewhere else. It's here. Don't worry, Deli. He took a job somewhere else. I cried well beyond 20 minutes. That's all I'm going to say. Because you know what? when you're investing in somebody you care about them as a woman, it's a lot. It's heartache. So all she's telling you is that, well, I didn't care about him at all. In fact, I looked at him and he looked kind of ugly. I realized that I had been sleeping with, you realized you had been sleeping with some guy nasty doing dirty stuff, you know, under those sheets, between the sheets with some guy that you don't even care if he leaves. You didn't even, you were like, oh, let me cry for 20 minutes. And you then were like, oh, he's ugly. You didn't figure out he was ugly before you decided to get involved and do some intimate acts, which we all know you didn't consider intimate, obviously, but you should have considered intimate. This is disgusting stuff. And what bothers me about it, oh, I see you in there in the chat asking for that nasty meter. Don't think I don't see you. I'll get to you in a second. But, you know, like, it bothers me that women speak like this. For take the actions out, which are bad, but even the fact that this stuff rolls off the tongue the way that it does, oh man, I just, it's so unfeminine. It's so like undesirable at every level that you would just think of your body like a, like something that guys just rent for like a minute here and there. And you've got no self-respect that you would demand a certain standard before you shared that with somebody. Disgusting stuff. I just, oh man, I think about it. I have a son, but I'm like, oh, if I had a daughter and I had to navigate them through this world of all these, you know what? Not going to say the word, but you know what some of these women are. You know it. You know it. And they own it. Some of them are like 3 out of 4. Yeah. Used to be that if you said that about somebody, you had to be like, oh, I'm speaking disparagingly about them. Now they're like wearing it with pride. So I don't feel bad saying it. They're saying it. They're wearing it like a badge of honor. I may as well call it what it is, right? Okay. We have a brain dead feminist in aisle one that we need to address here. Let's go to number 3. This is also from whatever. This is from their Twitter. By the way, whatever has a Twitter now and they put all the shorts out there. I got to stab and laughing all night long. Okay, let's go to number 3, Deli.
Men are subject to military conscription. They're subject to the draft. So if there's a war, men are forced to go and die and be in the trenches and get...
So are women. Women can get drafted.
Women cannot get drafted. You think women can get drafted?
I don't know, honestly. But
I like, don't think
put me up in Vietnam. Like, I don't know.
Wow. Women were not drafted in Vietnam.
I know. Okay, but the thing is...
Men are subject to military conscription.
I mean... God, where are they going to school? Where are these women going to school? First of all, she thinks that women have been drafted, which is, you know, the dumb hurts. The dumb hurts sometimes. Brian's got the patience of a saint. He's like, Matt, can you imagine me reacting to that? Honey, what did you just say? Oh, did you go to history class ever? What were you doing with some guy in the bathroom instead of getting your history lessons? Something was going down. But Brian behaves respectfully. You got to give him credit for that. Then she says, I don't know if you caught this. Put me up in Vietnam. Put me like it's no big deal. Like it's some type of vacation. Like, oh yeah, I'll go do it. Does she not realize that men went to war for this country and came out with post-traumatic stress disorder? That they saw their friends, you know, body parts blown off in some of the worst circumstances, that they had scarring and damage, that they made enormous sacrifices in this country to go serve our nation in capacities that women were not asked to do? And she's talking about it like, oh yeah, put me up in Vietnam. Like it would be no big deal for her. Like, oh, I got it. Oh, what's the big deal? I talk about having no gratitude, too. And this is what I'm saying. This is a conversation that comes up oftentimes. There's another segment where I think it's on that show. I think Brian brings it up and says, like, you know, the woman says, well, I don't need men or something. And he's like, well, actually, you do, because look around and everything around you was built by man. And, you know, you think about it. Think about the things that are constructed. Think about who builds the roads, the bridges. Look at a construction site. Who do you think built your apartment building? You're sitting in an apartment building. Who do you think built your house? I mean, who do you think was working in the mines? Who do you think works on all the 99.9% of the engineering projects? Who's doing this stuff? It's not women. So, and that's fine, right? Women don't want to necessarily be involved in danger zones. Construction is a danger zone, right? Women don't necessarily want to do that. That's okay. You shouldn't be doing that, by the way. You shouldn't be doing that. But have some gratitude. Don't be like, well, I don't need a man. Really? What happens if there's a war? You're going to get women on the front lines, honey? You out to lose a war? Because that's exactly what would happen. No, suddenly, you know what would happen? Suddenly feminism would go out the window and they'd be like, well, I can't do it. It would be like damsels in distress everywhere. right? It would be like, save me. They would, Drew Afualo would throw her feminism out the window so fast, your head would spin. If there was ever a real emergency, she'd be stepping back, waiting for that big strapping guy to come in and save the day, just like everybody else, because you know what? That makes sense, right? They're bigger, they're stronger, they're more built for the fight, they're built for wars, they build things, but show some gratitude. Show some gratitude. I just don't understand the man-hating that goes on. I mean, just look around you. The world you're looking at was built by men. You like your 15-story apartment building? Who do you think built it, honey? So it's unbelievable. I can't, people talk about war. She doesn't even know, frankly. She's probably like, Vietnam, what? Was there a war? I mean, because she's, you know, there's not a lot going on upstairs. But that's not an excuse to be degrading. All right, this is the clip that went viral, number 4. This was everywhere. I'm sure you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, you're welcome. It's coming. This one is fantastic for a number of reasons. Let's play it. This is also from Twitter, number 4, Deli.
If I find a girl that I want to make my wife, and I find her super attractive,
make your wife.
Okay. Yeah, because that's what I would do. I would make her my wife. I would ask her to marry me, and then make her my wife. You say you are a feminist. You're 100% a feminist.
That is feminist.
You look. You heard me say that. You heard
make her my wife. Like.
Yeah, because that's what I would do.
I'm an equal human. The woman. It's not about you
say that.
To make her your wife.
Obviously, she would want to be
she
my wife.
She has her own life. She wants to be your wife, too.
Yeah, of course, but she's not
going to... She wants to go to the club. She wants to do her makeup.
No, she's not going
to
want
to
go to clubs.
Pictures.
She's not
going
to
want
to go to clubs. No,
she does.
Because here's the thing. That's a non-negotiable for me in marriage.
Okay, well,
if I find a woman, if there's plenty of women out
good
there
luck.
That don't want to go to clubs all the time.
Okay, well...
There's plenty of women out there that don't want to go to clubs in tiny little dresses and get hit on by guys all the time. If I find a girl that I want to make...
Okay. So it's a fantastic exchange for a number of reasons. First of all, I think that guy's name is Chase. Is that his name? Do you know Deli? I don't know. I think his name is Chase. I think he went viral and he came out and was like, hey, I'm the guy in the video. I think he's been on there a couple of times. So what's interesting for me primarily, just notice the attitudinal differences between the man and the woman. He's very calm. He's polite. He's smiling. He's untethered. He's unbothered. He's not unraveling at the seams, right? And she's defensive, emotional. You know, you could see her getting like separated from her logic very, very quickly. When in reality, all he said was that if he met someone, he would want to make her my wife. Why is that offensive? Why is that offensive for a guy to say, I'm struggling to see. Don't women 99.99999% of the time plus want a guy to ask them to marry them? Most women don't want to get down on one knee and ask the guy. Am I correct in saying that? They want a guy to have some authority. They want a guy oftentimes to go get permission from the dad to be part of the family. They want if you've got a good relationship with your dad, you want your dad to screen that situation, right? Because daddy knows best a lot of times. Daddy loves you. Daddy wants to make sure everything's good to go. And you want him to take that leadership role, get down on one knee, be old school, ask you to marry him. That's what making someone my wife is, right? Doesn't your dad in a traditional setting walk you down the aisle and hand you over to this guy who any good father would hope is going to take care of you, is going to protect you, is going to love you, is going to do all wonderful things to you and help provide a beautiful life for you and hopefully the grandchildren that grandpa's already thinking about before they've even gotten there? So now there's an effort in society to derail all of that. To gut the nuclear family, to gut traditional gender roles, to gut everything that was beautiful and wonderful that created a prosperous and thriving society. Look at us now. It's like a society in decay, broken on every level because we're throwing everything away just for the heck of it, right? To make everybody feel good. Oh, yeah, woke this, woke that. So she is fragile. She's offended. She's defensive. Why? Why? Because feminism told her that the phrase make someone my wife somehow meant ownership or slavery or oppression, right? The word submissive would be horrible to her because she only knows the word submissive as it's been relayed to her by, you know, the feminists. She doesn't really understand what that means in the context of a beautiful, loving relationship where traditional gender roles are respected. when she says, she's even defensive about the, oh no, your girls are going to want to go to the club. Girls are going to want to. No, honey, that's you. Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself. I was 18 years old, right? I met a guy. I wasn't looking to go to the club. I was looking to spend time with him. Because you know why? I was raised right. I was raised right. And I was already looking for, hey, I have somebody I care about. I don't need all that garbage. I wasn't looking to go out and gallivant for everybody and get attention from other men. I wanted attention from the guy I liked. Sure, that's normal. That's healthy. But I wasn't looking to have a 304 phase. That's what modern women are doing now, honey, like you, because they've been misled, misguided. And you know what? You're going to wake up at 35 and you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. And you're going to wish you hadn't done all of those things that you're doing right now. Hopefully some of these women grow up. They're young. They're 18, they're 19, they're 20. I'm hoping they grow up in 10 years. They're going to look back at this footage and be like, oh man, what was I talking about? But I don't know, because the programming is so deep, y'all. You got 35-year-old women talking like this sometimes. Like they're in some sort of like second stage of adolescence. It's deeply unattractive to hear women talk like this. I mean, I can understand why men are like, I'm out. Because what's in it for you in a situation where you got a woman being defensive like that with a simple statement of making somebody my wife? You should be honored to have a guy that is so confident and has his life together and is so eager to provide for you and to protect you and to provide for a family that he is ecstatic to make you his wife. You should be ecstatic that somebody feels that way about you, not triggered and offended because Gloria Steinem told you to be. How nasty and pathetic that reaction is. And I want you to see the emotion because she's not taking the time to think about what he's saying. She's just like triggered. She's upset. She feels less than. She's like, oh, you know, her feminist feathers are like this. You know, when you ever see like a bird, you know, turkeys can be a little nasty. You never see when they get like peeved and the feathers are like, rah. That's these girls. That's these girls. And it's very, very disturbing to see. Also, she talks about how, oh, I'm an equal partner. Again, are you an equal partner? Ask her. I'd stop her right there. Honey, who pays for the first meal? When somebody takes you out to eat, who pays? Well, I would expect the man to pay. Okay, then you're not an equal partner. It's selective equality. It's a passion for equality when it suits her. You're not equal to a man. You're not the same. You are not equal. Get out and run a marathon with a guy. Decide, find somebody your age, you know, get out and run a quarter mile. We'll wait. You're not equal. Unless he's obese or he's got some type of horrible medical condition, he's going to smoke you. Okay? You're not equal. I will guarantee you that 9.9 out of 10 times, that woman is going to be more nurturing than a man. There are just things that come from biology and gender. Yes, gender is not a social construct that make you different. What bothers me is that you claim to want equality, but you don't. Because when it really comes down to, do you want equality? Again, you walking down the street and somebody's all of a sudden causing trouble. You and the guy want to be unequal. Oh, but put your dukes up. No, you're going to step back and you're going to wait for that guy to handle that situation. You do not want equality. You're lying. You're deceiving yourself and you bought the talking point. You regurgitated it and you stopped thinking as a free thinking person. Where are their parents? Where are these people's parents? I don't understand how somebody's mom or dad doesn't pull them aside and be like, what are you talking about? I didn't raise you to be, what are you doing talking like this? So this guy went viral. He's been on a couple of shows. He's a conservative. I've seen some of his pages. This Chase guy, he's talking about, I don't know, the jab and all. Oh, it's great stuff. You could tell, right? You could tell somebody who's got that traditional mindset that it's going to, oftentimes it bleeds over into politics. Okay, we're going to go to 5 in a second. I've got some chats, so I'm coming in. Oh, I'm already making a mess. The other day, I couldn't, just to show you how tech savvy I am. I know, I see these guys, by the way, the streamers and all that. And they're like, I do it all myself. I screenshot. Listen, awesome for you, but girlfriend doesn't know how to do tech well. So that's why I have Deli here to help me out. He literally, just so y'all know, he literally screenshots the chats and sends them my way because the multitasking when it comes to technology, not my strong suit. All right. El Chino, nasty, he said. Yeah, that's right. Nasty. And Shon Jodhav, I hope I'm saying these. I'm probably saying these. Shon Jodhav. Is that better? I don't know. Gave $40. We want a nasty meter. I know you do. I know you do. Whose idea was that, by the way, Deli? Was that you with the nasty meter? Or would that come from the chat?
Just
the chat. I'm surprised Deli didn't take credit for that just now. That shows you the nobility of character we have going on in this place. Okay, Michael Jones gave $50. Jedediah, I'm so delighted I came across your channel. As soon as I saw one of your videos, I subscribed. Today's modern women have no shame about their body count. Nasty. It's true. By the way, in the chat, weigh in, because I'm curious about your opinion. We're going to continue reading in a second. What body count, let's say, and first of all, what is a number that would be too, guys, what is a number that would be too high for you? What is the, is there a numerical value? Is there a range? And secondly, does it depend on age? Like, do you change, like if you meet a 22-year-old versus you meet a 29-year-old, is your set of expectations on body count different? Curious. Tell me in the chat and in the comments. I read these. I'm very curious. Sometimes I even create a whole new show around what you're saying, because this is your show as much as it is mine, right? Okay. Super Blue gave $10. Why are women okay with taking care of pets but not men? Interesting. I'm disabled, so no money or fit body to offer, but I can take care of myself around the house and can be a great companion. Am I doomed to die alone? No, you're not. By the way, I love that little picture you have. Looks like Supergirl. Is that Supergirl? I don't have my glasses, so looks like Supergirl to me. No, you're not. I think that there are many characteristics that men look for in women. That, yes, beauty, right, is something that draws the eye. Men are visual. But are you loyal? Are you somebody who takes pride in the home? Are you somebody who takes pride in, you know, being a good wife? You know, I don't know if you want kids or what that situation is like, but there are many, many attributes that men look for in women that go way beyond this. And in fact, there are guys, many of them that you'll talk to, that'll say they will, if on the look scale anyway, they'll say, I'll take a 7 over a 10. If that 10 is a brat and that 7 is somebody who's going to be loyal, faithful, devoted, wants to make a good home, is nurturing, all that stuff. So don't you hold your head high, girlfriend. Okay. Alvin Sam gave $5. If she's not submissive, then he won't be chivalrous. Interesting. Yeah, that word is a trigger word, submissive, right, for a lot of women. Because they immediately go to a place where you see a woman in handcuffs, like chained to the stove, and they don't understand that it's elective submissive behavior. It's women who would rather kind of sit back in the relationship and let their guys be head of household. It doesn't mean you're compromising your self-respect. It means that's what you want. You want a male leader. That's completely okay. And there are many relationships that function quite well. Actually, a lot of the relationships that wind up having problems are when you have this. You know, when you have no head of household, you have no direct, because you can't have two people making the decisions for the big decisions, right? Some of them, of course, you're going to sit down, you're going to have conversations. And it's not saying, too, that you can't play a role as a woman. Of course you can. Of course, somebody loves you. They want to hear what you have to say, right? But somebody ultimately pulls the trigger on that decision, right? Women who are submissive, they're cool if that's the guy. Like my husband, like we'll be faced with something. I sit down, we talk about it. 9 out of 10 times, I'm like, babe, whatever you think is right, let's just do it. Like, I'm cool. Whatever you, I trust you. Whatever you think is the right decision, I'm good with that, whatever that is, okay? Problem arises when you choose a man that you don't trust. Then you wind up being the dominant. Then you're not getting a dominant. You want a dominant. You chose the wrong guy. You're stuck in this, like, horrible cycle of unhappiness. You're clashing with him all the time. You don't trust him, so you're jumping in to try to make decisions that he should be making. That's when you have a problem. All right, let's talk about zero accountability feminist, shall we? Who's up for that? Oh, no, I skipped one. Sorry, Deli. I'm getting ahead of myself. Go to number 5. We're going to talk about emotional intelligence for a second. This is from Fresh and Fit. Let's take a look. Number 5.
Is this short?
No. That's, no. Deli's gone wild.
I've gone wild.
Number 5. Women can't define emotional intelligence. It's from Fresh and Fit.
Here it is.
It's rare to see a brain meltdown in real time, but this woman absolutely short circuits. Make sure you leave a like on this video and you subscribe so I can keep bringing these folks to light daily.
A man isn't considered a mature man until he's the age 21 and older. At least that's what I was raised into. A woman is considered a mature woman at the age of 18 because women are emotionally intelligent. We think with our emotions and everything.
Can you define what emotionally intelligent is?
I can't define that right now.
So you just use the word that you don't know the definition?
I didn't say I didn't know the definition. I just can't define it right now.
What? That means you don't know. That means you don't know what the word means.
I just think women mature faster than men.
But you said it's because of emotional intelligence.
Yeah, because women do act off emotions a lot.
Okay, so wouldn't it be fair to say that maturity, a component of maturity, is being able to control your emotions?
In a sense.
Okay. Got Who's better at controlling their emotions, men or women?
Women.
Really?
My name's Acoring, and if you enjoyed this, leave a like.
I didn't recognize it at first because I didn't realize they flashed on to that guy before they went to Fresh and Fit. I apologize, Deli. That was me. You had the right one initially. So emotional intelligence, if you're going to cite something, for example, if you're going to call somebody a misogynist, we've talked about this with respect to the Tate brothers. If you're going to cite emotional intelligence, know what it means, honey. Just, you know, get a dictionary, do some research before you go. Especially if you're going on a high profile podcast like that. You got your little talking point in the back, you know, your back pocket, and you don't even know what it means. Why don't women realize you sound so dumb doing that? Just don't bring it up or wait to bring it up until you know what you're talking about. This is a line that's used against men all the time. Oh, you don't have emotional intelligence. Why? Because women are equating emotional with emotional intelligence. Actually, oftentimes emotional intelligence is the opposite of what they're saying. Emotional intelligence is the lack of showing of emotion, right? You may feel emotion, but you have some control over that emotion. You're smart. You're processing those emotions. Just because somebody is not crying or not spewing emotions out does not mean that they're not emotionally intelligent. It just means that they have an emotion that comes up and they are in control. And maybe their reasoning or their logic takes dominance over that emotion. Because bottom line is, how many times do you have to live? Think about this. How many times in your life can you cite where if you got emotional, that was helpful to you? None. It's never helpful to you to problem solve or get yourself out of a ditch or a place that's, you know, uncomfortable if you're being led by emotion. Because you know what happens. If you're led by emotion, you start to feel sorry for yourself. You start to panic. The anxiety sets in. Maybe you get depressed. It actually inhibits your ability to navigate from point A to point B. Now, why do I know that? Because I am emotional, right? I do have an emotional reaction. I am wired to situation rises up. I have some anxiety. I start to panic a little bit. That is my nature. Okay, which is why I got myself a man who doesn't have that chip. That's not to say he's devoid of emotion or he lacks emotional intelligence, but what he has is pragmatism over emotion. So while I'm having my fit, he's next to me saying, all right, so that's not going to work. Let's just reconfigure this. I got it. No worries. Okay. So this is a garbage talking point. And the reason she can't explain it is because, again, she was told by, you know, feminism, by modern media, that men lack emotional intelligence. That sounded good to her because she's probably an emotional mess, right? A lot of women are emotional messes. That's a reality. A lot of modern women, I should say. She's probably like always emotional. And when guys don't respond to that or don't mimic that, she gets offended and defensive and wants to be able to say they lack emotional intelligence. So the talking point suited her life and her narrative, enables her to continue to be an emotional hot mess and to continue to finger point at those men who keep their you-know-what together when she's having, you know, tantrum of the day. But it's just not, it's not true, right? It's not true. There are, by the way, positive side effects sometimes of women being emotional. That emotion is also linked to what men love about us a lot of times, right? That we're very nurturing, that when the baby cries, we run and we're first to, you know, if your husband's had a long day, you want to try to create peace around him and try to make him feel comfortable and nurtured as well. So our emotions are part of who we are, but don't deny them. And don't try to put the same expectations on men and label them as lacking emotional intelligence because men aren't a carbon copy of you. If your guy is a carbon copy of you, honey, you got a problem. You got a problem. I don't know, you chose some feminized man and you're going to be looking over his shoulder to some masculine men every day of the week until he gets his you-know-what together. Okay, let's go to the chats. Oh, look, those are old.
Yeah, you refresh those. There should be some for
you. Oh, I have to refresh them. Look at this. Put the responsibility on me yet again, Deli. No, just kidding. Here we go.
No, it still isn't refreshed yet.
Okay, we'll wait.
Yeah, I'll wait for it.
Zero accountability feminist. Let's go to 4:30. This is interesting to me. Let's take a listen. This is going to go on for a little while. I might stop and go. Let's go.
Girl, it's good for a kid to be raised by a single mother in general. Just yes or no.
I would say that.
This is
kind of relevant.
No, I know, but I just need.
I think it can be. I think it can be. It just depends on the community that's around them.
It can't. Okay.
It really doesn't.
It does.
Even though that puts a kid at every statistical disadvantage, they're more likely to run away from home. They're more likely to drop out of school.
Because we live in a system that doesn't support single mothers, doesn't support people.
How do you live in a divided system? Okay, okay. How do you not support single mothers when if you get pregnant?
that's all we're going to need from there, Deli, just heads up. So that's just Pearlie talking to someone. Again, like the programming is very thick. You ever get like a pack of bacon from the farm? I'm thinking about this because I could go for a nice piece of bacon right now. I don't know about you at home, but a little bacon as a snack on the side wouldn't hurt on JB Live. Anyway, you ever get a pack of bacon and it's like fatty and it's like thick? That's how dense some of these women are. That's what honestly came up in my mind when I was thinking about it. Dense, dense, dense. So she now has to defend single mothers with a talking point that's nonsensical. So she's saying that it could be great. It could be great for, you know, borderline ideal is what she's suggesting for a child to be brought into this world by a single mother. That is just fundamentally untrue. It's deeply challenging. Now, again, I am not demeaning women who find themselves in an unfortunate circumstance. There are things that happen. People die. People get sick. You have, you know, a guy could leave you. Things happen that are outside of your control sometimes, and you find yourself in a circumstance and you do the very best you can. So I'm not here to demean those women. What I am here to say, though, is that if you are now glorifying single motherhood as an ideal, as something that, you know, oh, that kid's not going to be affected at all. Oh, it's just as good, if not better, than being raised by two parents. You are deluded, and you are dangerously deluded, because that is not the case for the child. What is best for a child is to have mom and dad. What's best for a child is to have mom and dad together in a household. Now, we know the divorce rates are what they are. Parents get separated. Things happen. But anyone with a sane mind will sit down at a table and say, that's not the ideal, right? That is not what's ideal for a child. And she is unwilling to acquiesce that point. She also says, you know, she comes in and says, well, there's not enough support for single mothers. This is going to be a leftist argument about the state. No, honey, you're looking at it. You know what's supposed to be the support for that woman? Her husband, her family. So you now have a world where single motherhood is being outright incentivized by the modern feminist movement. And then there's an expectation that government will step in and fill the role that a husband, that a family once did. So you have the growth of single motherhood, not good, not advantageous to the kid, and you have the growth of government, not advantageous to everyone. But you see how all of this is connected? That's why you find that people who are traditionally conservative when it comes to male and female gender roles are typically politically conservative as well, because they also don't want government in their living room. They don't understand sometimes this connection, but it's all connected. It's all connected. So this is a talking point. And by the way, no one cares about the kids anymore. Like, you're making this talking point, but ultimately who suffers is that child at the hands of your nonsense. All right. Let's take a look at a simp. Oh, peak simp behavior. This one is good. I can't. All right. Let's open. It's from Rich Cooper. All right. Look at this. This is a tweet from Rich Cooper. This is peak soy. He says, 2,088 men paying to watch some random woman on Twitch sleeping. Okay, look at her. 109,567,492 views in total. Can you imagine? Look, it's called Sleepover Stream All Night. Look at the eyeballs on the bottom. 109 million. Look at this. Insanity. And she's just sleeping. Somebody told me that she was like a famous Twitch streamer. I don't know who the streamers are, but can you imagine the level of simp that is paying to sit and watch this woman sleep? This is a strange woman you don't even know. What type of desperation do you have? Now, what's going on here? Well, some of these guys are fantasizing about this. You know, they're watching it. They're like getting in their head. They're like, oh, what if I was her boyfriend and I came home? And she, you know what's going on here in the minds of some of these guys, right? How sad, though. That means you got nothing going on in your own life. You don't have a woman in your own life. So you got to fantasize about some girl sitting on Twitch sleeping, and you're paying and spending money and giving eyeballs to watch some girl sleep. Guys, do not become this. I don't care what you have to do. Do not become somebody who falls prey to this game. This is beyond soy boy kind of stuff. This is deeply pathetic, horrible stuff. You're ever tempted to do this? I can't even imagine. You're not this. Imagine she's not naked. She's just sleeping. Guys in the chat, would you watch this?
If you subscribe, you'll get her Snapchat. That's funny.
If you subscribe, you get her Snapchat?
Yeah.
God, I wonder what's in there. I wonder what's in there. It's crazy. I mean, I just can't wrap my head around it, but don't do this. You know what? You're tempted to do something like that. Go to the gym. get your endorphins running. Honestly, like, and women make money like this. Women make money. The feet pics, remember that girl the other day? $40,000 a month selling feet pics. Now you got a woman sleeping. I mean, is she even sleeping? Who even knows what's going on here? What type of trickery? I don't see how you could comfortably sleep like that. First of all, and what is she trying to give the illusion of some type of nakedness going on with that arm out? I'm not really sure what's going here. She's like trying to be, look, the blanket has even the tag exposed. It's like beyond trashy to me. I can't. Guys, don't watch stuff like that. Don't give your, if you're going to give your money away, you got enough money where you're doing that. I don't know. Maybe there's a charity that could use your help. All right. This is a very powerful section. And I'm very careful about how I talk about this because truly, I feel sorry for this woman. I feel sorry for this woman in many respects. She's older. She's a 42-year-old single mother you're about to hear from, who is deeply, deeply depressed about her predicament. It's very clear. She's anxious about her predicament. She could not find a man, she says. She says that she is one of many women who are suffering at the hands of not being able to find a man. Finally, she hit her late 30s. She got a sperm donor. She's now in her second round of trying to get pregnant. I think she's doing some type of IVF. I'm not sure. Some type of insemination. She's tried multiple rounds of this. She's 42 years old. And it's a very sad story. But there's also a complete lack of self-awareness in this that needs to be seen. Let's go to 112 first.
Had of some situationships, a physical relationship, occasional texting, and no commitment. That's how I refer to it. It's basically what it was, and that's certainly not what I was looking for, but it seemed to be the only thing I could find. Oh, man, people love to blame you as the woman. They love to blame you. They love to say it's your fault. You did it to yourself. You were too picky. You were too focused on your career, which is absurd. You were to this, you were to that, you weren't enough of this. I would do the same thing to myself for a long time too. I would beat myself up and constantly be trying to find an answer for why I had ended up in this place, you know, which isn't where I wanted to be.
And okay. Now, this is sad to me because I think she's being authentic in the sense that she did not want to wind up there, right? I think it's very clear that she at least, you know, has convinced herself and us that she did not want this path to work out this way. But you also see a refusal to take personal responsibility here. So I was feeling sorry for her. And then she says things like, well, you know, the idea that I would be focused on my career and that would be a problem is just absurd. It's not absurd. It's not absurd. If you have some degree of self-awareness, you know it's not absurd. Because if you had your head buried in that career all of those years and you were given time to that career, you couldn't also be given time to a search for a man. And you know also that guys don't care about your career. So you're prioritizing something that guys don't prioritize in you. So you just have to be realistic about that. And I think oftentimes women will look at like, oh, what would I want in a woman? You know, because they're thinking, well, what would I want in a man? And they don't step back and say, well, it's not what I would want. It's what guys want. And guys don't want the same things that I want. So I may be thinking that, oh, my career is such a, you know, that's a top of the heap gold star. And a guy's like, yeah, I don't care what you do. So this refusal to just accept what is and the differences between men and women leaves women very much alone. I mean, does she look happy to you? No. She looks like she's a woman that has suffered quite a bit as a result of a lot of her own choices. She's choosing to put those out on guys. She's choosing to say, well, I blamed myself, but, you know, people say I'm too picky. Well, were you? I don't know. I don't know her. Were you picky? Were you being very picky about the guys? Did you have an accurate perception of self? Were you one of those women out there like, I'm a 10, I'm a 10? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know. But self-reflect, because it is a lot about you. It's not all on you, obviously. There's, you know, other people that come into the mix here and play a role. Anytime you have an interaction between two people, it's a give and take. But if you're saying that you can't see why prioritization of a career for a woman could be a problem in terms of creating a delay in her finding someone, then you're just not being realistic. And refusal to take personal responsibility for those things is what gets women in trouble. And also women watching this, like, I don't want some 25-year-old who's buried deep in her career watching that video and having the lesson be like, oh yeah, see, she said it wasn't me, so I'm obsessed with my career. But that's not gonna, you need to hear that it will upset the direction you're going in. It will create a delay and you might wind up like her. You might. Now, if that's okay with you, fine. But you can't be in two places at once. You can't. There was an interesting question that came up before we go to 350 today on Twitter, I think it was. Somebody had asked, oh, I wish I had starred it. I won't be able to pull it up now anyway because I have my phone on airplane mode. But there was something, a woman was saying, like, can you be a career mom? Can you be career driven and be a good wife and mom at the same time? You can't do everything at once. Something is going to suffer. So something has to be the priority, right? If you decide, for example, me right now, it's a perfect example. Like, I'm doing this show, right? And it's growing and it's doing great. But my priority is Hartley, my baby, and my husband and my family. That is number one for me. So that's why you don't see me on here every day. And that's why when I get invites to speak, if there's travel involved, I really weigh that because I don't like to leave my kid. That is number one. Now, do some components of my career trajectory take a little longer as a result of that or take a backseat? Yes, and I'm fine with that. Now, if I flipped it and every time somebody called me from LA or New York and said, oh, let's work together on this, and I ran, then maybe, you know, I'd have, you know, some more subs on the channel and my face would be here and I'd have a viral moment here. But who would suffer? My kid would suffer and my, you know, family dynamic would suffer. So that's not okay with me. So all I'm saying is you got to pick, you know, you got to pick your priority, but just know something's going to suffer. You can't, this idea of like, oh, you can be everywhere all at once is complete garbage. It's only 24 hours in a day. Something has to be your priority. So can you have a career and be a good mom and what? Yes. But which one are you prioritizing? Is that kid in daycare? What are you doing? Something's going to have to give here. You just can't do it all. That's the honest answer that most of modern women and modern feminists won't tell you. Okay, let's go to 350 on that clip. This is where it gets sticky.
But this still bothers me that so many of us are in this boat. So many of us who are well-educated and well-traveled, and I would think that we have a lot to offer as women to a partner, but yet we've ended up here. And I kind of would like to figure out why that is. And I'm moving away from this idea that it's something wrong with us, which I thought for 20 straight years that it was something wrong with me, because there are so many women in this situation, talented and accomplished. I'm like, there's got to be something else going on.
Okay.
I'm not going to blame them.
Yes. What's going on is you're brain dead about it. That's what's going on. Your refusal to see that all the things you just cited are things guys don't care about. You have been spending the last 20 years building up a career, saying, oh, I want to be well-educated and well-traveled and accomplished, and a guy doesn't care about that stuff. I'm not saying you can't find a guy here and there that will, but the vast majority of men aren't looking at you and saying, oh, I want to decide whether I want to date her. Is she well-traveled? Is she accomplished? Is she well-educated? No, that's not there. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for, you know, first of all, are they attracted to you? Are you feminine? Are you nurturing? Are you loyal? Are you committed? Do you have a softness to you? Are you peaceful to be around and happy and joyful and bring that energy into a home? So all of this stuff, and by the way, oftentimes all of this stuff she's talking about, not only is it not of interest to men, but it hardens you. Well-educated. What does that mean that you went through a school system and then you went to graduate school? I didn't come out of graduate school softer. I came out harder and more tired and more aggravated. So just like, it's changing you in the wrong ways. And it took me a while to really understand that. I was very lucky in the sense that I naturally, truthfully, wasn't somebody who embraced these high-powered, ambitious settings. And I know it's odd because you see The View and you see, but I wasn't gunning for that. But these women who are gunning for corporate jobs and CEO titles and even the idea of well-traveled, never appealed to me. It just sounded like a headache to you know, it's like a lot to juggle when you're traveling. It's too much multitask. I'm like, I'm good to be at home and open the window and look at the beautiful grass and water a plant. That's really, I'm a very simple woman. I like it. I like simplicity. And so all of these things that she was doing, I mean, well-traveled, and if anything, a guy's going to be like, oh, she traveled the world without me? I guess I don't have much left to show her. Oh, okay, she's well-educated. All right, fine. Cool. I guess I can hold a great conversation with her. Awesome. But maybe. Or has she been programmed in a weird way? Sometimes well-educated means that you've been indoctrinated. It's not even a plus to me anymore. So there's that. Accomplished? How? Are you accomplished in the ways that would appeal to a man, or accomplished in the ways that would appeal to a woman if she was looking for a man? You know, what are you doing here? So it's what's, and talented how? Talented in, I think a guy would truthfully rather have a female who was fantastic at taking care of the home and it was clean and beautiful and you organize those closets like a pro and you take care of the baby because you want to and you're passionate about all those things, than someone who was talented as a, I don't know, graphics designer. No disrespect to graphic designs, but you know what I'm saying? You're prioritizing things that guys aren't, and then you're sad when you're alone. So it's a huge disconnect, and you've got a growing number of like 39, 38, 40, 41, 42-year-old women who are miserable and alone, and they're like, I can't wrap my head around it, because you still won't see that you've been brainwashed and you've been living in a way that repels instead of attracts the opposite sex. All right, let's do some catfishing. Let's lighten it up here. I'm not getting these chats, Deli. I don't know what to say. They're not refreshing for me, so I'm going to come to you. You're going to have to read these.
Gotcha.
I still have the old ones. I don't know what's going on in this room. Since we came to this room, Tool of the Matrix.
I better say it's Andres.
Tool of the Matrix. Computers never like me, you know. Maybe this is some digital, you know. Klaus Schwab, are you here? Are you here? All right, catfishing. I hate a catfisher. Take a look at this. Number 9, Jolly.
This one?
No. No, number 9, catfisher. You see it?
Yeah, got it right here.
Okay.
I can't believe this is a filter. The fact that this is what filters have evolved into is actually crazy to me. I grew up with the dog filter on Snapchat, and now this filter gave me lip fillers.
Look at
her. This is what I look like in real life. Are you kidding me? I can't believe this is a filter. The fact that this is what filters have evolved into is actually crazy.
That's the same girl, y'all. Holy. Now, can you imagine? Let's just step into a guy's shoes, right? You're on Instagram and you're scrolling, right? And you see a video of her and it's filtered and you're like, oh, she's cute. You know, you start engaging in a conversation with her. Everything's going well. You see all her other videos. They're all filtered, right? Because that is what happens. You see some photos, but you know, the photos of Dr. Do, all sorts of shenanigans going on with photos. You show up, you've set a time to meet and you show up, you walk. Now you look like you, right? So maybe you're a 7, an 8, a 6, whatever you are. You show up, you walk in. And she's like, hi. She recognizes you from the photo. And you're like, who's that? You're looking at her like, oh, dear God up in heaven. What do I do now? Now, there's just a disconnect in your mind. You're this whole time falling more and more attracted to that girl that you saw on camera. That doesn't exist. That's like some type of AI stuff going on, right? And now you meet this real girl in life. Not to say she's unattractive, but it's just like you're it's jarring. You also feel deceived at that point, too, because now you're like, well, I can't take somebody seriously that's misrepresenting themselves all the time on the internet. Like, what is that? Is she insecure about what she really looks like? Obviously, she's not putting that front and center. What's she trying to do here? So it looks like you've got some type of attention seeking, weird. It's just red flags everywhere, right? And you also don't know who you're dealing with. Now you're like, well, if she lied about that, what else is she lying about? Is she really all these other things? Like it just, it throws a whole wrecking ball into the whole thing. And now that's not to say, by the way, some of my Instagram stories, I'll throw a filter here and there on you see them, but I'm sitting here right now looking at y'all. Like, you want to see what I look like? This is it. You can go on YouTube. I post a bunch. I'll post stories with my baby. You know, sometimes I will put the filter on because I like some of them. I'm like, oh, I look pretty good in that filter. You know, I mess around with them. Don't get me wrong, but you're looking at me. This is it, you know? So I just imagine that that's catfishing. That's catfishing. And, you know, this is a tool of the Matrix as well, right? Because all of this stuff is created to disappoint the other party. And does it not make union less likely between two people? Don't you feel betrayed? You feel some type of way. Now you're looking online and you're hesitant to meet people because you're like, well, I don't know. That happened to me last time. What? This woman, was it? She going to turn out to be a man or something? Something's going on here. It's shady. You distrust the whole thing. You throw your hands up and you're like, I'm out. Whatever. I'll just be by myself and play this video game tonight. That's not the answer either. But you know that feeling of just like, ugh, I'm done with this. How many times, y'all in your 20s dating, how many times you go home and you're just like, I'm done. I can't. I just wasted $50 on some type of psycho. I'm out. I'm not doing this anymore. But this catfishing is no joke. It's happening with the filters, and women use filters much more than men. It's happening with the makeup. Go watch some of the, go on Instagram. Look it up. Google it. Like all the contouring tricks they're doing with makeup. They're creating whole other faces. They show up at the club. God help you if you go home and she takes that makeup off oftentimes. You're going to be like, what the hell? I mean, they pull the eyelashes off. Those are fake, right? The face is completely contoured. The nose is slimmer. You get cheekbone. I mean, it's wild, that makeup. I never use that makeup ever because I can't stand heavy makeup. I don't even wear foundation because I hate having stuff on my face. But I had some friends, man, they were artists, legitimate artists. But we'd go out and I'd be like, who is that? What's going on over here? Drawing around the lips so there's these big fish lips, and they wipe it off and it's like, you know, lips like mine, like regular. I'm just saying, it's a dirty game out there, and it's being played by women, right? Guys can't, you know, you can't do all this stuff with the makeup, but you're not doing any of that. You're just like, this is me. Maybe with the fitness, but you can't, like, I guess you could spray on some abs, but seems like an unlikely choice. Telling you, man, y'all getting catfished left and right. And you know it too. I'm sure you've gone home with a couple of girls and woken up the next morning and been like, what did I do? How do I get her out of here? She looks scary. All right. Let's go to the Matrix, y'all. Okay. So we have something that I need to share with you that's pretty terrifying. Y'all lived through the last 2 years. Get ready. The WHO, you know it? You know those three-letter organizations I always warn you about? CDC, WHO, WEF, all of them. They're coming for your freedom. You like your freedom out there? You like being able to make decisions for yourself, health decisions? Maybe you got, you know, the jab. Maybe you didn't get the jab. But you like being able to have control over that decision for yourself, for your own body. What about kids? You got kids? You want to be able to make that decision for them? Well, enter the WHO. Let's take a listen to Tedros. Tedros is the director general of the WHO. He's going to talk about a pandemic accord that's coming your way. I want you to listen. We got three clips on this. They're fast, but you need to understand what's coming your way, what's coming down the pike. Let's listen to him.
This week, WHO member states are hosting discussions on amendments to the international health regulations. Next week, countries will begin negotiations on a zero draft of the new pandemic accord. These discussions will be crucial for building a more effective health security architecture for the future, grounded in international law, equity, and the fundamental right to health for all people.
Okay. That's Tedros. He's talking about a pandemic accord, right? What are the what are the buzzwords you hear there? You hear any buzzwords? You hear, health security architecture. That means how we're going to keep you safe. And if somebody next to you is making a decision we don't like and we think maybe his decision is wrong, he's going to have to be punished because he's threatening the security of the structure. You hear that? You catch it? You absorb it? You process it? Equity. Whenever you hear equity, that's a leftist, beyond leftist. That's like a one world government type of talking point. Oh, we want to create fairness. We want to create fairness. Life's not fair. It's never going to be fair. The way they create fairness oftentimes is by creating a rule that they deem fair, which, by the way, is often something that pulls society down at large. In other words, like you create fairness in economics, fairness by taking money from one person who's worked really hard and giving it to somebody else who hasn't. That's how they create fairness. They create fairness when you deal with like mandates when it comes to the jab by forcing somebody who doesn't want it to get it under the false premise that somehow that's going to prevent somebody else from getting the disease, even though we know what went on with the transmission when it came to you know what. Okay. So I thought, pandemic accord, is this actually going to happen? Go to the tweet from the U.S. State Department, please, Deli. Okay, so you see right here from the U.S. State Department, this is our Department of State. The U.S. is committed to a pandemic accord, which will vastly improve the global health architecture for preventing, preparing for, and responding to future pandemic emergencies. Who defines an emergency? And then they have an opening statement, which is boring and tells us nothing. But who defines an emergency, guys, out there? Who defines an emergency? Because, you know, they had us thinking that it was like the Walking Dead the last 2 years. And as it turns out, it was not. And a lot of data was misrepresented. A lot of data was distorted. There was a lot of deaths, you know, with COVID as opposed to from COVID. There was a lot of stuff that went down that was wrong in that equation. There was a lot of manipulation, so to speak, to make Big Pharma happy. So who's going to decide the emergency? Well, I'll tell you who. The WHO. So this is why I tell you, people oftentimes live under the delusion that, oh, we're in America and we're safe by virtue of our Constitution. We're safe by virtue of the fact that we're the land of the free. And I'm here to tell you, you're not safe. You are not safe. Your freedom is not safe because it's no longer the United States run in the United States. You have these institutions, WHO, WEF, that are now running a bunch of what once were autonomous countries that are no longer autonomous. This is Dr. Robert Malone. You remember he got thrown off a whole bunch of stuff. He was on Joe Rogan. You know him. He was talking about, you know, the jab, the pandemic. Anyway, here's him on the WHO treaty. This is very important. Take a listen. Listen carefully.
Let me go over the key points. Why you should care. This thing that is, remember, this is proposed by the Biden administration. These clauses are proposed by our executive branch, by our president. Okay. First off, increase surveillance. Under Article 5, the WHO will develop early warning criteria that will allow it to establish a risk assessment for a member state, which means it can use the type of modeling, simulation, and predictions that exaggerated the risk from COVID-19 over 2 years ago. Once the WHO creates its assessment unilaterally, it will communicate it to intergovernmental organizations and other member states. They will then have a 48-hour deadline. This is how this is going to work. Within 48 hours and really less, they will have to make a go-no-go decision about complying with the mandate, which is entirely under the control of Tedros. The Director General of the World Health Organization has the authority under this statute to circumvent the U.S. Constitution and to activate a dominant role over the U.S. Constitution by the Constitution of the World Health Organization. He can do this unilaterally. Remember, the two major donors to the World Health Organization currently are the CCP, Communist China, and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Bill Gates. Bill Gates is placing $250 million into the WHO. Those two control the WHO.
Okay.
Full stop.
There you have your name. That name keeps popping up, right? Every time you're talking about some type of authoritarianism or infringement on freedom, you know he's there. You know he's part of it. That's your Bill Gates. Always. Always. And the Communist Chinese. What an interesting group of people. So, again, the goal here is compliance. The goal here is to control you. The goal is to be able to declare an emergency from the top. And by the way, I don't mean from the Biden administration or let's say Biden steps out from the top. We're talking about one world government. We're talking about the WEF, the WHO, these three-letter organizations, which are heavily, heavily funded by pharma. They can come out and they can declare an emergency, even if there's not an emergency. You know what's going to happen? They're going to fudge the numbers like they always do, like they do their trials all the time. They are going to decide, they're going to make a risk assessment, and they're going to say, this is a crisis. They'll throw out the C word. And then all of the member states who have signed on to the accord will have to follow a standardized, one-size-fits-all protocol that will be put in place that will demand compliance. That's where you're headed, because that's where this administration is headed. And by the way, don't think that, oh, you're just going to usher in a Republican and it's going to fix everything, because most Republicans, by the way, will defend pharma. Find me a Republican who's going to take on pharma in the next election, and they have my interest. Okay, that tells me that somebody's not going to be tied up in the WEF and all that. And one of the things that was brought up in the, I was following the comments on this, people were saying, oh, but we have a constitution, but we have a constitution, and, you know, you can't do a treaty like this without Senate ratification and all of this stuff. Sure. Do you trust your Senate? You think that the same people, by the way, who were asleep when you or loved ones or people you know lost their jobs because you wouldn't get an experimental injection, those people who stayed quiet because their pockets were being lined by pharma as well, or they had a buddy doing this or a buddy doing that, or, you know, they benefited in some way from the enormous amount of money that pharma made. You think those people are now going to be trusted to stand up to the likes of the WHO and the WEF? Good luck. This is coming down the pike. This is going to be what America turns into. And by the way, this is why a whole bunch of people, in case you didn't know, are leaving this country and going to places like Dubai and whatnot, because it's coming. It's coming. And once you sign these accords, and once you hand over your rights, and once you show them that you will comply, they're going to take an inch and then another inch and then a mile, which is why I've been saying for a very long time what you saw in the last 2 years was a test of your compliance. And what I was saying is I want you to have the freedom to make your own decisions, whether that was to take a drug or not, whether that was to get an injection or not. That is your body. That is your decision, not mine. These people want to take that decision, and many others, including how much gas you put in your car on a Tuesday, including how much meat you eat on a Wednesday, all of that, they want to be able to make those decisions for you. They want to babify you, turn you into a little baby, infantilize you, and control you. So resist. Resist. How do you resist? Well, by being informed, number one, by laying down a red line. I'm not talking about some Obama red line that has a little, you can erase. Remember that? I'm talking about a real red line and say, this is my fam. I'm not, no thank you. I'll do what I need to do. And by the way, you also protect yourself by getting healthy, which is why I bring the products on the show that I do, because then you become less dependent on the system. And also finding ways to be employed where you work for people or with people, or you work independently where you are not subject to their edicts. So when you have big corporations pairing with the WEF and the WHO and putting mandates out there, you want to protect yourself from that by not having to deal with them. Okay, that's why the grow your own food crowd, man, much respect is all I'm going to say, because they figured out a long time ago that the path to peace was through actual autonomy. All right. Do we have chats?
Yeah, we actually have a bunch of them.
Okay. Deli's going to read them because mine's not refreshing for some reason. Yeah, okay, Deli, go ahead.
The Matrix today.
Matrix.
All right. The first one are related to the whatever podcast when we were watching it earlier. Yep. Ant the Great said, whatever. What looks better on a job application in the past 10 years? You had 20 jobs or 2 to 5 jobs? That shows stability. That's how I feel about body count.
Good point.
Miru sent $10. This is a result of bad parenting that could be traced back to the days when we collectively as a society demanded to get rid of God from the narrative in the formative years of kids across America.
Mm-hmm. Godless country, increasingly secular. Good point.
Super Blue said, my avatar is Supergirl, but I am a man. Please answer the previous question. Any hopes for a disabled 40s man who doesn't have muscles or money?
Ah, let me go back. I have this one here. Oh, I got distracted by the superhero. So you don't have muscles, money, or what?
It says he's disabled.
You're disabled. I don't know what that disability is. So I'm not sure how to answer that. But listen, well, I don't know if it prevents you from getting muscles, but you should, regardless of your disability, it's interesting. I remember a guy in the military who lost both legs, and I used to see that guy in the gym when I was in Staten Island way back in the day, and he would be lifting, you know, totally like he was going to do whatever he could. He had obviously a unique situation happen to him, an unfortunate situation, but it didn't get him down in life. And I always think of that guy when something silly happens and I get dramatic about it. So there's always something you could do. So I don't know what disability you have, but I will guarantee you that whatever it is, you can make the best of other components of your life. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know what your limitations are, but I would say this to anybody. You can't live a life where you're focused on what you can't do. So if there's something in your way, it's and maybe it's there to stay. First of all, maybe it's there to stay, maybe it's not. Again, I don't know what this disability is. Figure out if there's a way to, you know, get around it. But other than that, you got to build up what you do have. Everybody brings things to the table that are, everybody has negatives, everybody has stuff in their way, and everybody has positives, right? You got to work on what you do have. So do I think it's a dead end? No. Do I think you're doomed to die alone? No. Do I think a lot of that is going to be your outlook and what you bring to the table in areas where you do have control? Yes. That's up to you. Okay.
Okay, we have $10 from Rob. He said, I can always eat bacon.
Yeah, and Glenn, you and me, Rob.
Glenn Lawrence sent $20. Body count is important, but not as important as people are making it. You should consider how she behaves and treats you more importantly than someone's body count. Guys should be concerned with being her sexual best. Then we have 10 from Adrian. He said, career doesn't block men. Masculine attitude doesn't. That's the last super chat.
Okay. Body count, let me just say, the reason that people talk about body count, though, is because oftentimes when you're a female and you have that high body count, it shows a lack of self-respect, which then ties to if you've got little self-respect, you're oftentimes somebody who's given little self-respect. So oftentimes it is connected. I'm not saying, again, there can't be somebody who changes their ways. What I'm telling you to beware of is people who are proud of that phase of their life, who are not only did the 304 phase, but encourage others to do the 304 phase. Maybe would even encourage their daughter to do a 304 phase, red flag girl, right? So, but oftentimes it correlates. High body count with lack of self-respect, with lack of respect that you give out. So just think about that in the context of that conversation. All right, everyone, thank you for being here today. Love you all. Sorry I couldn't read those last chats. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I personally think Bill Gates is in the house. That's my assessment. I want you to hit that like button. I want you to hit that subscribe button. If you like the show that we're doing, please pass it along. By the way, if you clip stuff, some of y'all clip stuff on Instagram, but you don't tag me and then it takes me a really long time to see it, tag me. I'm happy to, you know, let it show up in my feed or whatever. Sometimes I even collaborate on stuff. I'll hit that collab button. So let me know. Thank you for being here as always, and I'll see you on Friday. Okay, bye.